Hi, and welcome to another episode of Keep Sharing with your host, John Taylor. We are now moving up through the seasons in the podcast, and it's delighted to welcome on to our next guest onto the show, Nikki Robertson from Nikki Robinson's Associates and Holistic Therapies. Welcome to the show, Nikki, and how are you doing today?
I am excellent. Thank you, and thank you for having me on the show, John.
No problem at all. So we met probably about 3 weeks ago now, I think, on a Federation of Small Business virtual meeting, which everybody's been doing over these last couple of months. And how have you found that those meetings up to date now, doing the virtual stuff?
They've actually been quite interesting. It took a while getting used to it, because I think something about, you know, networking is, it's really the, you know, the interface, the face-to-face interaction, I think really lends well to the networking. So the first couple of meetings that I joined, you know, virtually, it just felt a little bit uncomfortable at first. But again, just like everything else in life, we've had to adapt to all the changes. You know, it was just because it was a new platform of doing something on. So, I mean, they work well now. It was just those first couple of ones. I was like, I'm not certain I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, you can become a little bit digital overlord. Digital too much, I think.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes by the end of the week, you need a bit of a digital detox. I don't know if you tend to do that, but yeah. I tend to, by the weekend, I'll have, you know, large chunks of time my phone will put into another room not to be seen for hours, you know, and the laptop is hidden and not to be seen for hours. Otherwise, it's just too much, I find.
Yeah. So we're on the show today, and the idea behind this is to really talk about, give us a little bit of background about you and what you do and your why. So do you just want to explain to everybody what your practice is and how this holistic therapies work?
Right. So I do holistic therapy, which means I work on the body, mind, and spirit. And I've always had, I mean, I've been doing this for almost 24 years now, and I've always had a really, really strong belief. We wanted to find our health. You know, we're always talking about our health and well-being. And for me, it's really about finding that integrated health, which means you look at all the aspects of the individual. You're looking at the body, the mind, the emotions, and the spiritual self, and you find ways to balance that. So I'm a big believer in integrating therapies. I've studied across all those, you know, those pillars. And when I work with my clients, I really work on educating them, informing them, and helping them either through tools, whichever, you know, therapy that we're using, to help them find that that balance. I think in terms of the why, for me, it's, you know, that journey, watching clients go through that healing journey. That's definitely the why I have been doing this for as long as I have. And what really started my passion is, you know, helping people find that path and taking them through that, you know, transformational journey so that they can find that balance in themselves. That's definitely my number one why.
And you mentioned something there when you were talking at the very start about informing. I've never really heard people say that as therapists or coaches or guiding. What kind of things would you be informing your clients about to get the best out of them?
Because I've studied across all those pillars, sometimes when clients come in, you know, they'll be coming in for, let's say they want some body work done, and they don't really realize that there will be some other imbalance within their body. And then as we start, you know, so it's not something that I force people into. You know, you always work with the clients, see what they're ready. And then you'll start seeing people will start asking more questions. And that's the information. It's helping people, you know, giving them information about the different ways that they can find their health. And also, you know, we're very sectionalized when we look at health. You know, most of us have this concept that health is just our physical self, isn't it? And really trying to help people to understand that it's all parts of them that need to be brought into balance. And sometimes it's a little bit of a juggling act. One of those parts needs a little bit more attention than the other. And it's to also inform them and teach them about ways that they can keep them in balance. So we've also got these concepts that, let's say, if you want to get fit, you've got to start running, or you have to do cardio. But if someone's very burnt out, that's not going to support their adrenal system, you know, their endocrine system. They may need a gentler kind of movement. So that's where we look at creating like integrated approaches, which really help the individual find their health.
And what kind of people have you got, or you've been working with, even before the chaos, I call it? I don't really try to give it too much of a label because it gives it the energy that it needs. But before that, because do people actually come and physically see you and you work from a therapy room, or how does it work?
Yeah, so I have a centre in Prudhoe. It's newly opened. I opened it in, and previous to that, I had a centre in Newcastle. I work with clients, individuals, work with them either face-to-face. I also have international clients that I work overseas with, or, you know, clients who are in England but may not be up here in the Northeast. So, like, for me, the demographic doesn't need to be here, you know, in Newcastle. I'm able to work with clients across. Working with individuals, also working with companies to support their workplace well-being. So with those who would be coming in for face-to-face sessions, and they would be dipping into a variety of things, you know, the therapies I provide in the body, mind, and spirit. I've got classes that I teach, you know, the mindfulness classes, relaxation classes, a more spiritual type class where we really work on movements of energy and rebalancing energy, and workshops. I run workshops and talks, do quite a lot of workshops and talks.
It's phenomenal the work that you're doing, and I only really got into sort of this space probably about 5 to 7 years ago, and I'm still learning my craft and introducing some of this on a performance level about becoming present and still and in the moment. Yeah. And we've got so much other elements going on, especially, you know, we can get caught up with things that we're doing, the work-life balance and things. What is the difference with working with somebody remotely to actually face-to-face? How have you found that? Because it sounds like you've been doing remote work before all of this in any way. So were you getting a little bit used to doing that?
So I started doing remote work when I was living in Asia. So 6 years ago, I moved to England, and I lived in Asia for 12 years prior to that. And it was fairly early on, while I was living in Asia, probably about 3 years into living in Asia, I started working with the Philharmonic Orchestra. I started working with a lot of musicians in the orchestra, and they would have traveling musicians who would come for pieces. And I'd built up a reputation while I was working with the members of the orchestra. And obviously, you know, when people were coming in to, you know, do pieces at the orchestra for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, just even for 2 days, my reputation had spread. So I would start getting phone calls from people saying, "Oh, I've heard about you. Can I book some sessions? I'll be in town in these days," you know. So they would either book sessions when they arrived in KL, or we would start having some sessions even before they came, and then we followed the sessions when they left. And that's really where that work started. And a lot of that, because, you know, doing the remote working, it's more to do on the emotional side and the spiritual side. Obviously, you know, in terms of the body work, you can't do reflexology, massage, or things like that. remotely, unfortunately. No. Not that skilled. I've been doing it for a long time, but I'm not that skilled.
Not unless somebody's creating some virtual hands to come out the screen.
No, <Yeah. laughs> they've not developed that technology yet.
It's an idea.
It is an idea for someone who's listening. Hopefully they'll go away with that idea and make it work. So remote work, obviously with the change that this brought on, it wasn't something that was new to me. It's something that I've already been working with. And even before, with some of the classes I was running, I had clients who were tapping into my classes remotely already before all of our, this big global change happened earlier in the year. So it wasn't a new interface and I was quite used to working with it, but it was something that the clients who were coming face to face had to get used to, just like everything else. We all had to adapt to, if you were going to a class, a yoga class, a meditation class or something like that, it was, and as we just spoke about, even networking, the meeting where you and I met, we were used to those being face to face and we had to get used to them not being face to face. So, and it was just, working with clients who maybe weren't feeling comfortable with a session being done remotely. If some of them felt that they would rather stick to face to face. But then as time progressed and we recognized that this wasn't going to be just a couple of weeks, people started to, get on board and, they didn't want to lose out on their therapy. So they started booking sessions in the game.
The reflexology stuff is, it's brilliant that you've been able to have an understanding already. And I think people will probably feel a little bit more at ease the first time that they do an online thing, because I've done quite a bit of online coaching before, mm-hmm. but I also love the interaction of being sitting and feeling somebody's energy and looking in the whites of their eyes and sensing that environment as well. And that's really difficult to do remotely. However, it's still being able to adapt that method in a really positive way. And it sounds like you've done some pretty cool stuff. And congratulations with the orchestra. That sounds an absolutely amazing journey to be part of working with that kind of people, especially in harmony already, and the sound and vibration.
I know. And I was lucky enough to attend a lot of concerts, which is fantastic. Beautiful just sitting in an orchestra. I mean, if anything's going to transform your energy, that is, you're definitely going to walk out of that differently to how you walked in.
Brilliant stuff. So who in your journey, personally, has inspired you to do what you do, and who have you picked up information from, and what really stood out for you, and there might be one or two people that you want to mention, and what effect did that have on you when these people did inspire you?
So, I've been practicing for 24 years. So I have a few people who have really inspired me over that. Almost, it's 2.5 decades almost. So the first person she was a South African lady called Grace Graham, and she was my reflexology lecturer when I was a student. So I had already heard about her before I went to study, and I was absolutely insistent that I was going to go to the institute where I did go to study, because I wanted her to be the trainer. And she was already an international trainer by that point, and she was a pioneer of reflexology. Her belief and her passion in what she practiced was unbelievable, and she didn't let any bureaucracy, she didn't let any red tape get in the way. She was adamant that it was going to be a medically recognized modality. She worked with the doctors, and she was able to push it through. By the time I qualified, we would sit in consultations with doctors discussing clients, and your ICU nurses would schedule the patients therapies that they needed or treatments that they needed during the day around what time you would go in and treat the client, who was in either on the hospital bed or in ICU unit. And she really pioneered that, and we reflexology was really given its recognition as a therapy that provided health or brought the body back into balance. Whereas, you know, in the other countries I've worked in, it's very much seen as a relaxation therapy only, which grossly underplays what it really is. Then the other person, this is probably my number one guru, is Louise Hay. I read her book when I was, I think, 21 years old. I still have the same book, pages of it, and read her book probably once a year. You Can Heal Your Life. It transformed my life, and it really got me onto this path that I'm on. Learning to change your mindset and, you know, believe in yourself and learning to love yourself again. That was very much, she was a huge influence and has been a huge influence in my work. Diana Cooper, she's big on angels. If you ever walk into any of my therapy rooms, you will see angels, little of angels everywhere, you know, these little statues and things like that. So everyone knows, you know, you walk into Nikki's rooms and there's always going to be an angel somewhere. Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God. I don't know if you've read that book. Also transformed my life. Eckhart Tolle, absolutely love him.
I know him. He's one of mine.
Love him.
The Power of Now was the first one that I got introduced to. But then Stillness Speaks. I don't know if you've done that one. That is just another level.
And again, he's another person who is not afraid to just stand in his power, you know, and deliver his message. He doesn't conform to what society says you should be, or how, you know, you should comport, you know, carry yourself. He just is who he is, and I love him. I just love his work. He's so inspiring. Joe Dispenza, I love his work. I'm just recently gotten onto Joe Dispenza's work. I love his work. But, you know, Deepak Chopra, Tara Brach, Jack Kornfield, you know, they've all been inspirational and helped mold and inspire me and help develop me, you know, through my path. And ultimately, I'm my biggest student. Like, I do the work myself. If I haven't done the work myself, I don't ask the clients to do the work. Like, for me, I take a lot of time to do the work myself.
And those people that you mentioned there, what I've personally learned as well is that people become stepping stones for each other along their path. And if people can shine and transcript their message in a version that's sometimes been written 4,000 years ago, but just told in their way, the authenticity of it is
what relatable.
That's the word. It becomes. You pick up golden nuggets along the way.
Absolutely, and I think it's Ram Dass who actually. Yes, it is Ram Dass who has the saying. You know, we're all just holding. Oh, now I'm trying to think of the saying exactly. We're shining the light so we can find our way home. So we are shining the light so each of us can find our way home. Have you heard of that one?
No.
I've not said it correctly. I'll have to go and look it up. Basically, it's as we do the work for ourselves, we become the light that helps the others find their way home. And I just think it's beautiful.
I had a conversation with a guy last week about the flow of life and sometimes getting out of mind and producing stuff like the program that I've wrote for the professional and amateur golfers. It is a guide solely that I wrote it in a way of shining this information and informing. We shine it out together, and then people then become receptive to the information and adapt their own style of how they want to become better. I think is a little bit better way than your traditional follow the 6-step formula and you're going to be amazing, because not everybody is the same.
No.
It's great that, you know, especially the Eckhart Tolle stuff, I can certainly relate to that. And I'm just getting into some new teachers now as well, just on the back of my mentor out in America. He's a Buddha, and he's been a massive impact in my life for the last year. And now he's introducing me to the people that he was trained by, and they were his teachers, and to be
who inspired him. Isn't that lovely? So then you just pass it down.
Yeah. Well, I asked him actively. I was like, "Who taught you your stuff, and where did you learn this information from?" So he quite willingly shared that with me. And that's why this podcast is called Keep Sharing, because of Joe. And he says at the end of every conversation, just keep sharing, John, because you don't know. And everybody's got a story, as you have, your journey in Asia and doing what you're doing now. You know, you've lived out there and you're now in Pudda and working with the orchestra and the sound and the reflexology stuff. I've just started to get into a little bit with a company at the moment, which I'll talk a little bit later with you. So you might be interested in a little bit of that stuff about these socks that you can wear, you know, like well-being and things like that when you're sleeping and, you know, and
help you.
Yeah, it's called Human Performance Technology, a Canadian company. And I actually wear a sleeve on my arm. Which,
it's funny, I was talking to someone last week and she had that on and she was mentioning it was the performance technology, isn't it? It enhances your performance.
Yeah, this thing's called CBT, which is cognitive boost technology. So it's a sleeve that you wear, and it goes into the nerve endings in your arm, and sends signals to your neurotransmitters within the brain, and you get a calm and relaxed feeling. So that's why I played the best round of golf I did last week wearing one, and it's just, it does work.
That's whether you let people know that or not.
yeah, but it's in. I am also finding that the more that you start to focus on your performance abilities, things like your mental well-being actually can support that in a way to help manage and deal with them situations that are perhaps a little bit more tricky and anxious.
Yeah.
It's because we can only ever focus on one thing at any one time, can't we? Everybody thinks you can do all of these amazing things at once, but physically, in the moment, you can only do one thing at any one time.
Absolutely. The one rule of mindfulness, isn't it? Yeah. Single tasking, one moment at a time.
I like that, single tasking. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Single tasking. And I just remember, you know, when I was a kid, I remember there was this exercise our teacher made us do. I was probably about 11 years old, and it was about how efficient we could become. We had to find ways to become more efficient. So, like, if you were making the bed, what else could you do at the same time to become more efficient? And it was really a challenge that was set to us. And I remember that. And it was always something that I developed as I was going on. You know, how can I be more efficient, like time efficient? So, you know, you jump into the shower and you brush your teeth at the same time you're showering. Then you start studying mindfulness, which I'd started studying when I was in Asia. And you learn, no, single tasking. We don't need to be overloading ourselves that way. So I was like, all those years of training myself to be more efficient, oh my gosh, what has that done to me?
Do one good thing at that one time, you know. And it's
your attention, it's difficult. Be in that moment.
Yeah. And it's interesting that before all of this happened, everybody was busy and wanted this thing called, I haven't got enough time, I can't meet you, I'm doing this, I'm in and out of the car, I'm backwards and forwards, I'm going to meetings, I'm taking the kids to school, and everybody was rushing around, and it could potentially be a universal call to say, okay, then slow down a little bit, everybody. Yeah, some time. There is your time. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And just before we go then, what does the next, I suppose, couple of months look like for you, and how can people find you?
So for me, the next couple of months are quite busy. I am restructuring a couple of things here at just in terms of how I offer. My ethos has always been body, mind, and spirit, but I really wanted to focus on that integrated approach. So all the courses and talks that I've done, workshops delivered, I'm in the process of putting them up online. So I'm quite busy with that in the next couple of lines, but sorry, next couple of months. I don't know why I said lines. And just have a new interface on the website and things like that. So there's going to be a little bit of a revamp on how things are looking in terms of how people can access their therapies with me. And how people can find me, I'm on, I'll give you my website address. So it's www.nicky@nickyrobertson, I am on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram as Nikki Robertson and Associates. So you can find me there.
What I will do is I'll put this on the bio as well so people can access that. So we'll have all of
you. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, that's, I'm afraid we're coming to the end of 25 minutes and that's gone really quick.
And, it goes in a flash.
And this is just basically showing people that there's different ways out there to deal with your situation in life, I think. And I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about what you do.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. And until the next time. And all the information is going to be there for everybody, guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And you've been listening to John on Keep Sharing podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode and we'll have another guest for you.